Welcome to Movement 4.0, From Babies to Astronauts. This is a podcast that I've been doing to discuss the theories that I have of biological gravity and movement of human beings, of living organisms, movement in general. Movement is different than being in a mass or an object. We're not mass. We're biological creatures. We have mass. We take up volume, but we can't look at the same as our bodies as, let's say, a cup. I thought this would be a great way to start discussing these theories and movements that go around us and we live through on a day-to-day basis that also challenge us. Astronauts have different movements in outer space. Babies have different movements as a foundation here on Earth. And we develop from babies, so we have to understand where movement comes from. But if we're going to go out to outer space, especially to Mars, and that's why my book is You Can't Get to Mars Without Me, we have to understand these crucial aspects of movement. It's not about muscles. Muscles don't create movements. Now, don't hate me for saying that. We need muscles for movement, but they don't create movement. Just because you contract a muscle, that doesn't mean that you have functional movement. Functional movement means for walking down the hallway to feeding our faces. One of the crucial milestones that doesn't even get discussed, except with my work that I can see, is our push-pull milestones. These are very, very simple in infants, and they can become quite complex, especially if someone's just asking you for a push-up challenge, let's say. But again, a push-up is not a functional movement. It's a movement we're capable of creating as we become more mature in our movements, but it's not functional. Babies don't plank for push-ups. They're capable of sort of going in and out of it, but that's really not a milestone. Asking a baby to plank or looking for that is actually looking for more so developmental delays or aspects of load lift variations of movements, which really babies don't go into. Any movement that a child, infant, toddler goes into needs to have weight transfer, needs to be able to go in and out of the position at all times. When we can't get in and out of position emotionally, physically, we're a wreck where we become incapacitated. And we don't want that for our movements. We don't want that for life. Being incapacitated, we start to think of as adults as we've had one too many, but that's not what movement is. What's a push-pull milestone? A push-pull milestone can be very simple. It's just ticking our tongue out of our mouths, typing on a keyboard. It starts out with really our tongue and not so much a suck reflex, but we're going into pushing our tongue out of the mouth. Colonel Chris Hadfield, really a Canadian astronaut, said it best that he goes, I didn't know gravity was necessary for my movement of my tongue, you know, coming back into the Earth's spaced orbit and being on landmass again. Push-pull milestone, a really significant one, is actually touching breast tissue. When a baby is nursing and they're starting to touch their mother's breast, they're starting to regulate these movements. Then as gravity comes into play for baby, the baby, let's say, is given an object, but they can't hold it. They shouldn't be able to hold it. Please don't try and get your newborn baby to hold things. One of my biggest warning signs is when someone brags that their two-month-old baby is holding a bottle and I'm thinking, oh, we have cerebral palsy or a risk of. Cerebral palsy is a neurological, neuromuscular condition, but what happens is it bypasses push-pull milestones almost completely and also weight transfer movements that are crucial to our initial movements, and they go right into load lift variations. Getting head control, things like that. And I hear, oh, my baby's getting so strong. No, they're not getting strong. They really need to, in a sense, balance through their pelvis and their head centers off. And it should always be moving. It's interesting to look at therapy for kids. A lot of the movements you wouldn't ask even the guards of the Queen of England to stand at. You know, we stand asymmetrically, we sit asymmetrically. We really do not have perfect posture like we do in Downton Abbey. But getting back to the push-pull milestones, regulating the amount of weight through our system comes from these first few movements. So a baby is, let's say, handed something and it we see it falling from their fingers. But what it is that they've started to regulate gravity going through their fingers, right? Because gravity's all around us. It's not just the floor. And you can listen to plenty other podcasts to get on board with that. And then we start dealing with an object. So an object starts to go through our fingers, to go through. And now the object will be finding the floor, but the hand of the baby should not be. If the hand of the baby is really finding the floor or becoming secure to the floor, then I start worrying about rare genetics. You'll see issues with low tone, hypotonia, and rare genetics have more of that flavor. Going away from the floor, but not further than a couple of inches, that's more the cerebral palsy where you see the startles and the spasms start to come into play, and the straightening, the stiffness of the body. That's more of a neurological trauma. Floppiness is more of a genetics issue. Not always the case, but that's generally where it's at. One of the biggest ways of telling if your child, let's say, is going into CP is the wrist designates itself either up or down. You can't go in and out of up or down. Well, guess what? For genetics, it's almost the same thing where the wrist can't come up. It wants to go down, floppy. And again, the push-pull milestones through the wrist are not establishing like they should. So as objects go through the hands, go through the arms, go through weight transfer, it's almost like running water when water just sort of trickles through our fingers. Well, a rattle does that to a baby or a ring. O-ball. They will start learning probably in a couple of months, 4 to 5 months old, that they can actually hold an object to manipulate it. They still don't know that they can do a purposeful action with it, meaning throw a ball to the dad. But when I pick up a pen, I use substantially less movement and muscles as I would if I was picking up a 10-pound kettlebell. Just touching an object, my body starts to regulate. Again, it's push-pull milestones in vertical or horizontal positionings, depending where I'm at with the object, and will give me a counter response of how much force to put in it. I don't use too much force, meaning I don't pick up a pen like it's a 10-pound kettlebell, and I certainly don't try and pick up a kettlebell with the same force as picking up a pen. So these push-pull milestones come into play, yes, through our fine motor skills, including the spine, getting out of bed and such. But just opening up a door or even just driving a car, our body's able to regulate the amount of moving force, right? That's where it starts to go into. It starts to regulate a moving force and a push-pull. So tug of war starts coming into play. Babies will pull your hair. We hate it. Pull your glasses off. Pull on your blouse or something. They'll start to push you away, push your face, push your eyeballs. And again, they're starting to go into like, hey, there's something going on here and I'm getting a force back. Again, a special needs child, let's say with CP, will go to open a door and the door will propel them backwards. They won't have that ability in every vertebrae of the spine to regulate where they are in space with a counter response. Well, guess what? This is where failure quickly happens in outer space. That's why we really have to get away from very, very lack of functional movement exercises that are going on in outer space, because load lift variations, yes, it creates muscle mass, meaning I can go lift a 10-pound weight now for the next 2 weeks and I could measure my muscles before and after and show you an increase of muscle mass. However, if I don't have functional movement involved with that lift, let's say I don't go to the gym now for 2 weeks, I'll lose those gains in like seconds because it's not a functional movement, so the body doesn't keep the mass. The mass is only there again to go against the force, and that's more Newton's law. When you're going into my theories of regulating momentum, you'll see that there are complications that can go into that start off really young at birth. Going into the all fours position does not create crawl. What you'll start to see is a baby starts to bounce, and they'll bounce, bounce, bounce around 4.5 months, 5 months of age on all fours. They'll get a bounce going. But that doesn't mean they're going to crawl. Why? Because they're regulating, again, that push-pull momentum within the spine, within the pelvis, within the toes, way before they're going to start crawling. Right? And when you're sitting them up at 5 months old and you go to pick them up, you should get the arms raising up and like that whole bounce, like pick me up kind of thing. Again, because they're starting to regulate that push-pull milestones in many aspects of what they're doing. This kind of movement will come way before we start getting into other aspects of movement. My 21st theory of biological gravity is a living being manipulates the lower binding force of gravity to catapult movement from above and therefore creates inner momentum. Intimate objects react like a pendulum. So in other words, when you're using, let's say if I have a pair of glasses and I took them off and I held them on one end, the momentum will come in like a pendulum. If I'm swinging a pen, those kind of things. But they're not going to catapult their movement from above and creating an inner momentum. Whereas just me swaying and bouncing, tapping my foot, again, touching breast tissue, things like that, I start learning not only what it's like to push and pull and still maintain my space, but then how much force I need to offer. So gravity is thought to be a weak force, but it's only been observed when interacting with non-functional movements. We really don't look at gravity in functional movements. Functional movements means a movement that I can do that creates something that I need in my life to function. I need to feed myself. I need to get out of bed. I need to dress myself. All these functional movements are inoperative in outer space because of the lack of rotation and also this lack of gravity. So the buoyancy factor is way too high within the human body, and therefore the use of momentum is off, meaning in outer space, I can touch a wall and forget breast tissue, but touch a wall and it will propel me backwards. That will never happen on Earth, right? So negotiating movement and momentum in that aspect in a push-pull milestone has to be regulated in outer space, which it can be with certain equipment, but it can't be done that I'm just lifting weights, trying to keep my muscles strong. What's going to take the human body to keep a muscle strong is a functional movement. Even if you're doing a weight-based program here on Earth, you should do it based off of functional movements. You would get a lot more, in a sense, of muscle mass, but you would get a leaner mass, but the mass will maintain, especially after, let's say you've gone to the gym, you're still going to maintain that. But that's why, too, if you look at a farmer, they don't have to go to the gym because they're doing so much functional movement that their bodies maintain more of that leaner aspect of life. Now, if you're looking at a farmer that's overweight, you need to look at their daily activities and, you know, sitting on a tractor, let's say all day long or those kind of things versus baling hay, roping, those typical manual labors that come into play by working with rotational movements. Throwing a ball is a perfect example of it. You know, separate the pitchers that have a similar techniques, but the velocity and the angle and the trajectory would be different, right? This is due to the differences within the two pitchers' rotational movements and how they react to gravity. From day to day, our bodies are hit with momentum, securing our positions against vertical gravity. This is really important because from day to day, an astronaut's bodies are not hit with momentum, so therefore they lose their security against a vertical gravity. So that's what we need to start looking at, that we create aspects of functional movements within our travels to outer space. Otherwise, we're not traveling to outer space. We can't get past that year load. This is Michelle Turner. You can reach me anywhere on the internet as Movement Lesson. Michelle Turner is creator of Movement Lesson, or I am, and I go around the world and through the air spaces. I have the largest library of the human body, or working with the human body, on YouTube, on the internet, and my private courses. You can find me at movementlesson.academy or any place else under Movement Lesson. I can't wait to see you again. Thanks so much for being here.